Subject tonight is deliverance.
Oh,
a lesson in
salvation by Lord. Our reading will be from Acts chapter 9, Galatians 1,
and
Philippians chapter 3. And we'll be reading Acts chapter 9,
first of all.
Philip of God,
chapter 9.
Indeed, it was a head. There was a certain disciple of the Master named Ananias.
And for him said the Lord
in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord.
And the Lord said unto him, Arise
and go into the street which is called Straight,
and inquire in the house of Judas
for one called Saul.
A suffering.
For behold, in prayer, I have seen in a vision a man named Ananias stand in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard thy name of this man,
how much evil he has done to thy
saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority to receive priests to bring all that call him by name. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way.
For he is a chosen vessel
for me to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel.
For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias
went his way and entered into the house, and putting his
hand on him, said, Father Saul, the Lord will even see that there appears unto thee in the way of those sinners that sent thee,
that thou mayest receive thy sight. And they fell to the Holy Ghost, and immediately they fell from his power without ever being saved.
And he received
thanks for good in the Lord,
and was what time.
When he received meat, he
was strengthened.
Then Saul
stepped in the age with the
disciples before the Master. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue
that he is the Son of God.
And all that kept him were amazed and said, Is not that it's
he that destroyed them
that called on his name in Jerusalem?
And came hither
for that and him, that he might bring them down unto the chief priest. But Saul increased the Lord of the time, and confounded the Jews which dwelt in the Master, proving that this was very true.
And after that many
days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him,
for their name or race was known to Saul.
And they wanted to give the same length to children. Then the disciples took him by night and sent him down by the wall in a basket.
When Paul returned to Jerusalem,
he obtained to join himself to the disciples, for they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple.
And Barnabas took him
and brought him to the apostles and
declared unto them
how he had seen the Lord in the room, and how he had spoken to him. And how he
had preached all there
the Master in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out to Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he speaketh against the Jews, but they were never afraid.
First, tell the brethren of you.
He brought him down to Samaria, and sent him forth to Samson.
Then had the church his rest,
going to all Judea. And gathered
and created
and were any man, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost.
Where?
Multi-man.
Galatians chapter 1.
And verse 15. Galatians 1.
And verse 15.
Upon these God who offered me for my Lord's room,
he called me by his grace,
so he knows his son in me, that I will preach him along this season. Immediately I confess not what Christ he was. Neither went I up to Jerusalem for them who were apostles before me,
but
I don't think you are ready. And they turned again unto the Master.
Then after 3 years,
I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. The Lord went and took me to the
other of the apostles.
So I now he is in the Lord. Then he comes to be in that service. It will be free and there.
But all things were changed in thee, O thou covenant Lord of the Church. Yea, covenant from thy sons all things were lost from the excellence of the knowledge of
Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered
the loss of all things,
and to come from that time that I am in your sight, and be found in him,
not having my own righteousness, which is of the law,
but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith.
For I may know him, in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I am attained unto the resurrection of the dead.
Small as though I have already seen, I were already tempted,
but I follow after,
if not on the other hand, that for which also I am after him the of Christ Jesus. Brethren,
I have shown all myself to have after him,
but this is one thing I do,
forgetting those things which are behind,
reaching forth unto those things which are before,
I press toward the mark
of the cross
of the high calling of the Lord
in Christ Jesus.
Again, for that
time, those who scripture, using them as a basis,
the one to try and
look at the public, how all is
public,
priorities, and what priorities he did establish. The fact is of chapter 9 is that of Russia. The area of Yassi,
the church of God, the last
was on great occasion when
all men are Savior
from the Lord.
And he then came out of the door.
The fact that he came to Christ of the Lord is what he raised to us to set him to heaven for that again. Galatians chapter 1, the living prayed against the background of conflict. And the Lord was preaching what
Paul called
in one breath
another gospel.
And in another breath, he said, it's not
another.
Again, that came to my mind. We read a few verses in Galatians 1. But it's against the background of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And we need to initiate the Philippians chapter 3. Because that really is the climax of the passage. Whatever conversation is in heaven, says the Savior.
From whence also we will call in Jesus.
If we take a moment look at this,
we'll see where the night flames
against the background of the New Testament. That's our passage. Behold, he prayed. In Galatians 1 is against the background of social affairs. He first of all gets to know his God. And then he goes to meet all the living men
and the eternal
of Jerusalem.
And in Galatians chapter 3,
against the background of intelligence.
But in spite of all that he knows, he has never yet grasped. It's all that I may know. But it's so much that he knows.
And
the chapter,
he wants to know.
Can you have something look at it?
For my statement, it begins the background of the anger.
Is it your man or is he?
the man who was guarding the church house, yet breathing out slaughter and threatening. But in the eyes of the director, Paul seems to be calling here and there in Galatians 1 just to get his bearings. And then that thing that he sent in Arabia, come on, I just don't know. I think it's difficult to find a place for it in Acts chapter 9 or so. But it happened, and was of great, great service for the apostles. And of course, in chapter 3, there's only thing to say against the background of the fear of people. It's how he feels about that man that met him on the road, spoke to him, and taught him in his wild career. But he says, that I might. So that's the background against which we're speaking. So maybe we should ask ourselves, what is a priority? So that will speak so much about getting our priorities right. Much important. More important to the Christian than anyone.
What is a priority?
Why come to the dictionary?
Okay.
The dictionary meaning. I'm informed that a priority is what is first in time, rank, place, etc. So these are broad parameters in which the minister, the minister, what he teaches, in a moment of peace, in some of those areas where Paul is suffering priority. But, first of all, you don't draw your attention to the fact that God has priority. And you'd be not surprised to see that God has priority. Take for instance, 15, speaking about the resurrection. Paul says that every man is a fool of God. Christ, the first Christ, and afterwards, later as Christ in his coming. Again, we're not surprised that Christ gets the first Christ, but that's God's priority. In relation to resurrection. If you come to think about the gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you read a lot like this. Now ye are body of Christ and members in particular. One thing are these five things that Paul says. First, apostle. Second element, prophet. Thirdly, teacher. After that, literally, then, gift of healing. Then God establishes his priority in relation to the gift. To accomplish that came behind the illusion. To a culture that was really overemphasizing one gift, the gift of God. And when the same happens, it is important to notice that that one is placed last in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So God has priority. We have no passage like 1 Timothy chapter 3, where the office of the bishop and the office of the deacon the Spirit of God can call a feeling about the deacon that the deacon first proved. What coming into the situation and then proving themselves? But before they come to them, let the deacon first be proved. Because God has priority, let me remind you tonight that Christ has priority. If you found that what is familiar and known as the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find that in each of the three chapters that there is an account, there is a fish from the lips of the Savior. Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, four things. And therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, They remember it to thy mother upon against him. Please hear thy against before we know that I go thy way. Yes, you reconcile to thy mother, then come and offer thy gift.
In the matter of reconciliation,
that
he must see himself,
the kingdom of God and the righteousness,
and all these things be added unto you.
If you can see your own material, tell it necessary to him. He will even be able to learn.
The priority of the Savior is pressing you. If you can, the kingdom of God and the righteousness.
And then you can go to a just brother in chapter 7.
The Savior said, in that time of the Savior, if thou shalt redeem out of thy honor, then shall thou be healed in chapter 7 out of thy brother. Amen.
So here, the
priority.
What is the priority to? Paul, that is written more carefully, speaks of us being the fifth truth of the Spirit. Why do I say that here? That's one of my lessons for the divine being of the time. How much more should he have him as well? So we come to our first reading, and
he, oh Lord Jesus, where Paul discovered him,
my wife. What do you want to see? You know, his replies are the same for him. But I'm sure you will acknowledge there the existence. I love that phrase that the cause of death is ever. Behold, he prays. All these pictures, when you have been discovered, priority,
a prayer, in all that.
Secondly, in the passage,
there is a priority that always comes in the relationship of partnership,
whether it's the master
or the Jerusalem. You link themselves very strongly
in the story of it.
For the disciples who are in each of those places, I'm sure that all of us, in our minds, have come to know, come to learn the very need of fellowship with the Lord Jesus.
But then in the passage where you must have noted that Paul and his family have priority in relation to Christians. And again, whether he's in the Jewish synagogue, at Damascus, or among the Greeks, the Hellenists in Jerusalem. He will preach. We will see in a moment just what he preaches. And let us discern why he preaches it. To give you a moment of peace, to speak to you about prayer. Before he prayed. Incident, this reference in Acts chapter 9 will refer to what I have called pastoral prayer. The head of the Latin is prayer speaking time. You can pray in our home, you can pray in our work, you can pray in many, many ways. I suppose this is one of the most important. It became a great priority in the life of Paul, the great man of prayer. So what is acceptable that we need to practice prayer? You see, what we're saying that orthology is called prayer is just the recommendation of our need, of any need to speak. And it seems that we never thought we would ever have, I'm sure, the right genius.
there is going to be the whole being created.
Of course it is created.
But it is to say, rather it is not created.
Really, the words of the master's words are prayers in themselves. Who is the Lord? Lord, what will thou have me to do?
But says the Lord to Ananias as you are encouraging to go and meet him. The Lord be
prayer. All the Lord about personal prayer. I need your prayer.
You need my prayer.
So then, if you think about the idea of prayer, if you think about the idea of mortal prayer in Christ chapter 12, Peter is in prison.
The man made a prayer with me of the touch, with a draw of a head. If you can imagine in your Bible, the fear of that is earnest prayer that was made for that dear man.
In the crisis of that experience, the assembly got together the prayer. They were not only emphasizing to them the priority that requires in relation to personal prayer, and that priority that will not get to the world. That aspect of prayer and employment that were national in character. I'm thinking about Romans 10, the Romans chapter 10. Brethren, he says, my heart is that I am in prayer to God for Israel is, that he might be saved. Still, we have a people to pray for the nation. And the nation is which we pray. I believe these are our duty to the praying of the nation of Israel. It's the great prophet, Murray, that came with it to remind all Christians to remember the praying of the nation. Sometimes I remember to do that. I did not have often attention. But my thinking about personal prayer. And my thinking about local prayer. My thinking about national prayer. And what Paul and Titus and Timothy speak about universal prayer. I exalt Petra, Thessalonians, Testimony, Peter, and I exalt Petra. Supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks daily for all men, for him, and all that are in. Prayer. I can advise you that your prayer is me, putting your mind prayer in the heaven. Not that you have no prayer for me, you can pray it all. At the end of the chapter, there's a man who prays in the upper room. He said in relation to Dorcha, kneel down and pray. The Lord has that prayer in the answer. The same man, Peter, in Acts chapter 10, in relation to the presentable spoke in communion. Pray on the Christ. Pray on the Christ. In Acts chapter 16, Paul said that on the Sabbath day, went to the river where prayer was wont to be made. Prayer by the river. But before the chapter finished, Paul is praying in prison. For he and Silas prayed. And Acts 21, there's a lovely scene with Paul makes his departure from Tyre. The dear believer to comfort them for the shore. And then he looked down and prayed on the shore. Beautiful scene. And then there is that momentous scene where on the ship in Acts 27, Paul gave thanks before them all. Unashamedly. In an alien atmosphere. The man whose advice had been scandalous.
how we all appreciate that lovely verse that we quote so often, Matthew 18 and 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How precious that text has become to us than the believer. Spoken by the Savior himself, giving to us his own personal promise on the basis of our being gathered together in his name and in his name alone, that he would grace the company for his own glory and when interest wavered and attendance slackened. We hear the word from the Hebrew writer saying, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. As the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Prayer. Partnership. Let's think for a moment for the preaching. You see the emphasis that they hear on the boundary of preaching. Here he is, the master in verse 20. It says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. What a ministry, what a message. I got what a change of mind. Shortly before it, Paul would have argued with anyone that Christ was not the Son of God. As a result of this view, this pressure, this personal issue, he's prepared to take his stand beside the man for whom he rejected for so long, and attest and say categorically that Christ is the Son of God. And then if you look at verse 22, it says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, not only saying but praying that this is the very Christ. Preach. You come to us with a different intention. But he's got his priority on. He's established it right there. And what will he do when he gets to Jerusalem? Well, there in verse 29, he says, and he stayed boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not for a moment saying that preaching is the be all and end all of Christianity. Most of your hermit days, how many years, some have more to Christianity than preaching. If you think of God, it's an essential part of the witness. It's an integral part of the witness. It's an indispensable part of the witness. As we hear Paul say, how shall we hear without a preacher? If you think of our message that Paul and Martha and Jay and Andrew and Acts 13, together they said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and count yourself not worthy of everlasting life, O ye, return to the Gentiles, they will soon venerate the servants of the Lord. Paul felt the urge. I don't suppose he ever lost the urge. For in Romans 1, verse 15, he came to that kind of day, long to the day. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. As he speaks about the solemnity of this charge that he says right to the Corinthian believers, he says, no doubt, but real people, woe is me, if I preach not the gospel. The area in which Paul established his how you live. Let's look for a moment at Galatians chapter 1. Try to catch this idea. And I want you to keep in mind that I labour the idea of partnership as we come to look at Galatians chapter 1.
I want to think about four things that emerge from this passage, and Timothy is one of them in particular. I'm going to think with you about the pleasure that Paul explained, verse 15. When it pleased God to who separated me from my mother's womb. Two more days ago, we read in Psalm 22, for that was he that took thee out of the womb. And we apply that to the Lord Jesus. For here is Paul's presence, the very same kind of experience. He's indicating to us that God was there when he was born. The verse contains an allusion to two verses, just in a few words, to reveal his son in me, who was on his birth. His natural birth, and his new birth. I don't want to stay there tonight. I want to think with you about the privilege that Paul enjoys in Galatians 1. The privilege that Paul enjoys to reveal his son in me. You see, there was more than an arrest on the Damascus Road. But there was more than stopping a man in his march of India when the Savior interrupted his course in Ashdown. Not only is his destiny changed for eternity, but there is this wonderful transaction that took place. That God revealed his son not to him, but in him. I hope he comes back to reveal his son in me. And I thought with the idea of revelation. I thought with the idea of responsibility in that. That I might preach him among the heathen, that I might preach him among the heathen. You see, Peter will be the apostle to the circumcision, the Jew, but Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, to the heathen. There is a man with a darkened intellect, a man with no religious background, that I might preach him. After having had him revealed in him, revealed his son to me. Michael's statement. What about his fault? His fault immediately. Immediately. I want us to catch that today.
Amen.
I want us to catch that statement. Wherever we have an impression, to act upon it immediately. You could become experienced in life. Not only that we have ourselves, but others have begun to us. When and what things are a fleshly impulse people have. And yet the Lord is in it. Immediately he said, I can tell God that flesh is mine.
I want to speak to you from the past that Paul and Barak's life. This next
book is immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. You see, at the beginning of the chapter, you confer with the chief priests and the elders about arresting these people who believe on this Jesus of Nazareth. And he's prepared to go as far as Damascus together and haul them back to Jerusalem, drag them back there from Jerusalem. In this new experience, immediately, I confer not with flesh and blood. Why, Paul? It's going to where you are. That's why. Not to Jerusalem, for those that were apostles before him. No. But he's diving into Arabia.
My experience is clearly
treasure in this faith. Can he hear me? But a precious experience it must have been.
So over again, what we've been saying about partnership, this is not a contradiction. The one is complementary to the other. We emphasize the importance of being together. But in this passage, Paul is emphasizing the importance of being alone, but alone with God. You would agree that any servant of God in the Bible, whether in the Old Testament or the New, that was anything for God, had this as a great priority, that he spent time alone with God. If you think of the Old Testament, you can think about Moses. 40 years. 40 years was a long time. But it took that, first of all, to take Egypt out of it. Boy, he was out of Egypt already. It took 40 years to get Egyptian principles out of the great man of God and to replace them with divine principles that would enable him to take on the great task of leadership for the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. Elijah. Not 40 years, but that session of the group sharing, isolated, depending on Raymond for his food, depending on the group for his liquid, for his refreshment, so he dried up. Well, that was all preparatory to a wonderful ministry, a spectacular ministry. You see, he needed this time alone with God. We're thinking about Paul himself, too, with he has a passage like this. This time of isolation, this time of aloneness, this time of adjustment, this time of education, this time of preparation to do something for God, something outstanding for God. And it's absolutely essential to God. We spend time alone with God. Many of you are busy people, you sit there at this place, always something to be done. I would be kind to you. Make time with something, just a week one, alone with God. Thinking about John the Baptist too. You spend that time in the Lord.
Before he came forward to announce the coming of the Son. Paul said, I went into Arabia and returned to Damascus. I take it to return a better man. I take it to return a different man. Anyone who has spent time,
who has spent a lot of time in the presence of the Lord, it will be evident the knowledge of them is our faith, that they have been the deep. There's another important factor in Galatians 1. And it involves the people that Paul embraces. He speaks in our chapter about Peter, he speaks about James, lovely praise. James, the Lord, brother. James wouldn't claim that for himself, but Paul claims it for him. 15 days Paul spent with Peter. I'd love to have been there. I would. I don't know what they talked about. It has not given cotton to it. I'll tell you this, that Peter emerged with an appreciation of Paul that he carried for a long time. But at the end of his ministry, speaking of those
things that Paul had written that were hard to be understood, he called to her beloved brother Paul. Oh yes. Next chapter, Paul will record his face-to-face meeting with Peter, for he was to be blamed, he said.
И кои му мај питам во ја има таа, се сами во ја. Let's pressure this area. И кава е стоит мај. Я навещал за него стопите. Да го чудна. Да го ведна. There was the fourth man that called pillars in the darkness. This is a moment to me. And you look on to one of the other things that is looking at me. Come in this situation. Father, I came again. Paul must have thought a lot of the Philippian believers. As he unveiled his heart to them here in this beautiful church. Just let me mention one or two things that Paul speaks to them about. Paul indicates that he once stepped in the center in relation to the Lord Jesus in Philippians. I would suggest that first of all, Paul wants Christ as a possession. Well, you see, as Christ is the Savior, of course you are. But Paul wants more than that. I believe in Philippians 3 that Paul, as a priority, wants a hope.
Paul wants Christ. So you see, Christ is his favorite. Paul wants Paul. I believe what he means. Paul, as a priority, wants a whole Christ in himself.
What happened when Christ?
You said, Christ, thank you, Lord. You can tell me just in the earlier passage in the chapter.
And he they said, I heard you like a song, but he left them and you the Lord of Christ, even one.
Often when you believe,
he comes from a hole. And I know that you learn. I ask you to tell us how it goes to me, how it is anything to be done.
How are we to achieve?
You are the one who is 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 the but He is mine. He is mine. So when you come, don't fight the opposition. But when He is firm in me, not having my own righteousness, and so on. The call, you can join the DJ to me, but for all the blessings I have, but still, all the pieces are woven in God.
But I want that obstinacy, that evil that we've been teaching about, is a very special